You might not have heard of Leuven. It's not a big place. 100,000 people live in this city. It's a 30-minute train ride away from Brussels. In Belgium, though, Leuven is considered this country's equivalent of Oxford or Cambridge. The city is home to the biggest and oldest university in this part of Europe and the world's oldest Catholic college. The sizeable student population gives Leuven a hipper edge, and you'll notice that with a range of cool shops and boutiques.
For the moment, we have more than 50,000 students, and inside Leuven city there are only 35,000 people who live here, so you see a lot more than students than people who live here.
If Leuven's name seems familiar to you, you might have seen it on a bottle. It's home to the world-famous Stella Artois Brewery. Leuven is Belgium's beer town.
They say from New York it's a city who never sleeps, and I think Leuven is a city where you never will be out of beer.
Leuven has a sense of importance, which you might not expect from the eighth largest city in Belgium.
Leuven was the most important part of the Duchy of Brabant.
And that made it equivalent to the modern-day Belgian capital of Brussels.
And at one time in history, the Duke of Brabant will move his court from Leuven to Brussels. And that's why Brussels nowadays is the capital of Belgium.
Leuven's wealth came from the wool trade, and that brought a close association with Britain, from merchant deals to monarchs marrying.
A lot of daughters from the Dukes of Brabant, Leuven is the main place of Brabant, married to English kings.
As I travelled by train, I should thank those royals. The special relationship meant that Belgium became the first continental country to get railways.
When you have a double track of railway, the trains drive to the left, not to the right in Belgium.
I arrived at Leuven's large station and walked down the grand, wide, tree-lined boulevard towards the city centre. I was heading towards the town hall. It's Leuven's most distinctive site. It's a work of art.
Well, because it's one of the finest examples of Gothic architecture in Belgium, really.
They started it in 1439, and it is breathtaking. It's a tall, cream-coloured stone structure with a steep roof, flanked by three ornate turrets on either side. Its height and presence dominates the gently sloping cobbled Grootmarkt Square. At night, this beautiful building appears even more stunning as lights highlight its cornices and parapets. The detail on the town hall stonework is so intricate, it looks like one of those painstakingly built matchstick models. But workers chiseled this imposing structure, and it took them decades. When you get close, you'll notice there are statues in the many alcoves and recesses. They depict both biblical characters and local benefactors, and strangely, Napoleon makes an appearance. That's because these figures were added between 1815 and 1900.
So every figure which meant something in the history of Leuven has got its place over there. You didn't need much to have a place like Napoleon. He came here two or three times, but it's quite posh to have Napoleon in your city hall.
The town hall's interior is also impressive.
Well, it was to show off, really. You know, they wanted to make an impression, and they did so, saying how well you were doing and how grand you were.
So over which period was the interior decoration?
Ongoing from the 15th century, but then in the 19th century there was a renewed interest in the past, so there were a lot of paintings from that period.
Each of the reception rooms, former offices or meeting rooms is lavishly decorated. Some have the appearance of a medieval castle. Other spaces are more like a French palace.
While all of the buildings around the town hall were practically destroyed in 1914, the town hall was saved because it was the military headquarters of the Germans.
The Germans torched the town centre during the First Great War. Their action was devastating, and it might have been a terrible mistake. Some historians have put forward a theory that part of the German army had fallen behind the men in front, which created confusion and led to them firing on their fellow countrymen.
And they had some people shooting them, and so they came in and they said, well, the people from Leuven shot us, so we have to take revenge.
They certainly took retaliatory action.
They decided to lit the whole city on fire. From the real city centre, about one-sixth remained.
Bo van Kokhoven is co-manager of Leuven Leisure. We stood in the marketplace next to the town hall, and she showed me the extent of that destruction.
But they did a really good job, but it's only indicated sometimes on the houses where you see these plaques with 1914 written on them.
Just around the corner from the town hall is the Cloth Hall, so called because this pretty 14th century Gothic building would have been used by merchants buying and selling wool. It had been the place where 300,000 books and manuscripts were lost in that act of arson in August 1914. The university now occupy this building. Their newer library is about 10 minutes walk away, and visiting is recommended. The University Library's soaring red brick bell tower offers amazing views to anybody prepared to climb the stairs up to its 73-metre height. Just protect your ears around chiming times. Back downstairs, the University Library reading room is quite distinctive itself, with its light wood panel walls and balconies and wood carvings.
I think it's the most beautiful building of Leuven, which looks really old, but it's not even 100 years old.
Around the building, you'll notice inscriptions on stone referencing American universities. Hoover, who later became president, started fundraising when the world learned how Leuven's university library collection had been lost for a second time.
The image of the burning library was used as some sort of a propaganda throughout Europe, throughout the United States. And he also sent letters out to schools in India, schools in Africa, in Great Britain, to please give some money to the poor students of Leuven that have no more books to read.
Then, sadly, when conflict between Flemish and French-speaking Belgians escalated in the 60s, more books left Leuven.
Because we're in Flanders, it should have been Flemish, so they decided to split them up into two universities, and then all the books that ended on an uneven number got to stay in Leuven. All the ones that ended on an even number had to go to what is Louvain-la-Neuve in the Walloon part of the country.
Opposite the University Library Square is a 60-foot-high chrome pole. It looks like a knitting needle spearing a massive green fly. It's art. The university plays such a large role in city life, it's responsible for many public artworks. In the old market square, next to its back-to-back pubs, there's a bronze statue of a middle-aged woman. She's slouching at one end of a bench. In her right hand, she's pouring a large old-fashioned coffee pot. It's a tribute to the role of a cot madam.
And this is the lady, like the mother for all the students.
They're the landladies of student blocks, responsible for the students' cooking and cleaning. She's offering strong coffee to revellers in the hope they can sober up and return to their studies. I caught the bus for a 20-minute ride to Heverley. It's a posh and leafy suburb at the edge of the city. The university has taken on Arenberg Castle, a red brick chateau set in parkland alongside the river and a watermill.
It used to be, actually, in the 12th century, a castle for the lords of Heverley, which is a part of Leuven. Through marriages and so on, it came into the hands of the lords of Arenberg in Germany, and it remained in their hands until right after the First World War, when the Belgians confiscated the building from that family because they outed some sympathies for the German army, and they gave it to the university shortly after.
I'm not sure whether Stella Artois' presence encourages students to Leuven, but we're going to check out two beer-related Guinness record claims and embark on a Belgian beer tour of our own next. This is the Great Destinations radio show. Today I'm in Leuven in Belgium. Many of the city's attractions, including the American Library and the picturesque Arenberg Castle, are owned by the city's well-respected university. They're also custodians of two historic parts of town, UNESCO World Heritage Sites. The Begwinage were close communities built to house single women during the Middle Ages.
The reason why it had a lot of success was that those women could take temporarily vows. If you go to a monastery, you take eternal vows. There's no going back. They could live with the other women in that community. When they wanted to go back to the real life, they could go and get married, for instance.
It's something very, very Flemish, actually. You find them in Flanders and a little bit in the Walloon area, and then you have like two in the Netherlands, I think.
There's a small Beguinage, basically one narrow street of terraced homes, and the impressive large Beguinage, a walled district of medieval red brick buildings, churches and gardens set alongside the river. It's a peaceful place to wander. City tour guide Gert van Aken recommends it.
A little village within the town. It's got its own streets and squares and around 100 houses, its own church, its own hospital. It's got a wall around it, and it kept its character.
Belgium is a complicated country. Flemish-speaking northerners occupy an area known as Flanders, which includes Leuven, and they don't always get on with the French-speaking southerners, the Walloons. The Walloons were once on the wealthier side. Now it's Flanders that's flushed.
When Belgium was founded, all of the wealth was in the French-speaking part of the country. You had coal, you had steel in the Walloon part of the country, industries who had died. And now all of the wealth is in Flanders.
There is an invisible language line that you can map across the country. On one side, they speak Flemish. On the other, French.
So you have this linguistic border, which we institutionalized in 1963. There was a time when the French was the dominant language. Ruling elite was French-speaking. You couldn't go to school in Dutch because they thought that Dutch was not suited in science or in culture. That's the accomplishment of the Flemish movement and cultural struggle, and made Flanders proud again.
Locals in Leuven speak Flemish. It is similar to Dutch, but it's not exactly the same.
It's like trousers and pants. For the Flemish that are from this part of Belgium, we use a lot of French words in our vocabulary. In Dutch, you would say, to say thank you would say dank u. But in Leuven, most people say merci.
Now, here's something Brits could be envious of. Belgium recently functioned without an elected government for 541 days. It's a complicated argument as to why it happened. I've not really grasped it, but basically the Flemish and French sides fell out and couldn't reach agreement. So civil servants ran the country.
Nobody worried about it. It's like in Britain they say, you know, keep calm and carry on.
If you're in Leuven on a Friday, you'll hear a very particular sound, luggage being dragged over the cobbles. That's because Belgian students often head home for the weekend.
The Belgian students, they go home on Friday around 4 and they come back on Sunday evening. We also have a saying, which is the Tupperware boys. And that's the idea that a mother still cooks for her son, even though, or her daughter. And then the food she puts in Tupperware boxes. And then she puts them in the freezer. And then on Sunday, he can take everything with him.
Locals reckon Leuven is the world's most important beer town.
Yeah, they call it the capital of the world.
If you come to Leuven, you have to have beer. If you haven't had beer, you haven't had the experience of Leuven.
You can smell the Stella Artois brewery the moment you alight from your train at the railway station.
It's really a big part of our history. We have an enormous variety of beers, and we are proud of the fact that you have the cradle of the Stella Artois breweries here in Leuven.
But you know, like on the label it says Anno 1366. It's actually pure marketing, because it has nothing to do with Stella, because Stella was brewed for the first time in 1926. It's actually a reference to the brewery which was called The Horn, and the first time that we read about that brewery in the sources, in the archives of Leuven, is a reference from 1366.
The Stella that we know today was created as a seasonal drink.
When it's winter, normally you make a special kind of beer, and they gave it the name of the winter star, which is Stella.
Hello.
Well, it was an interesting crowd that gathered for the Friday evening beer walk I'd booked on with Derek from beerhop.be. There were some real ale types, some tourists and some new residents. Most of the bars we visited were set around a large enclosed square, the Oude Markt. It's lovely in summer with brightly coloured umbrellas shading the benches and tables. It's claimed that this is Europe's longest bar because of the wall-to-wall pubs.
Some people say from the world, but I don't believe that.
Do you know how many pubs there are?
The last time it was 32.
Derek's sampling tour took us to the Capital Pub, which makes another claim. They say they've the largest selection of beers in the world.
We have more than 2,000 beers in Belgium, and there's a competition about Delirium in Brussels, and Capital say we have more beers than you, But then it was a big fight in the newspaper, so we have more or less.
Derek was full of stories about each of the bars we visited. Café Belge, for instance, features a painting of a former Belgian king on its ceiling.
And it was a painting from King Baudouin. He died a few years ago. Painting was not so nice, and it was in his castle in Brussels. So one of the people who works there, it was a gift from the king to him, and he sold it to the pub, and they put it on the ceiling.
We sampled a beer from a small local brewery called Louvainium, named after Leuven's Roman name. They've started brewing a beer which was once made for students but which had ceased production.
I think it's 1815 and it was finished.
It's very strong, 9% volume. The students were once given the beer to prevent them venturing outside the college walls. The student stumbled across the long-lost recipe when he was meant to be studying in the university library. Our beer walk continued to the M Cafe, a trendy, rather stark, minimalist bar, part of the city's museum. It's next door and has that kind of art gallery look about it. Owner Jürgen Bollion poured us his special porter, made with a local ingredient.
It's a stout made with some vanilla in it, but also with sour cherries. And the cherry that he used is a typical Belgian cherry that you don't find often anymore.
Derek McLean moved to Leuven from Glasgow. He told me it took him a while to understand the Belgian beer types, like the doubles and triples. Some of those are rather strong.
I make beer, you get water, you throw in your ingredients, you put the yeast in, seal it up, let it ferment. That's the equivalent of a single. As soon as that's ready, open it back up. All the sugar and stuff has been eaten by the yeast, it's turned into alcohol. You can now dissolve more stuff in it. So they make beer with beer instead of water, and that's your double and triple.
Derek says the drinking culture is very different in Leuven compared to Britain.
You know, I learned pretty quickly after having tried some of these strong beers that you can't rush them. And you do sit down and you relax and you enjoy the taste.
Now, with such a large student population in Leuven, there are many places for affordable food. There's plenty of choice along a pedestrianised street called Muntstraat. It's so narrow, the awnings of the restaurants on either side of the lane touch each other. The alley is lined with tables and chairs for outdoor dining, with anything from sushi to Italian food. Leuven de Muller's lasagna cafe nearby caught my attention. All they sell is lasagna. There are six different versions of that dish on the menu, including beef, seafood, and special seasonal varieties.
Like what we did right now is asparagus, twisted up and make it into a lasagna, which turned out fabulous. Flemish, the Southern Dutch, and the German all grow asparagus. Tons and tons of them.
Leuven's university is a major social and economic force. And with the number of academics and young people it brings, Leuven has a vibrant buzz and a cosmopolitan feeling. If you're a beer fan, it's worth taking the hop across to Leuven to sample the beers and see the sights. Even if you've been before, it's worth returning to see what's changed. With so many students, there's always something new to discover and uncover.
Every 3 years, all the people who studied here are new people. So every 3 years, it's totally different.
To reach Leuven, you can fly or Eurostar to Brussels and then take the train for the 30-minute journey to the city.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.